Speaking of the body, let's start with connecting to it. Because oftentimes, the way that you and I go through the world is we actually must depend on our disconnect to be able to live the lives that we live. So we kind of like park our bodies, you know, at the edge of the car in the morning, and then we get into the car and we go off and our intellects drive the bus for the whole day, and then we come back and we reconnect with the body. But we really don't go through the day noticing, am I hungry? Am I tired? Do I want to be doing this? Am I enjoying these conversations with these people? Does this topic interest me? We don't notice. We don't check in. So part of that is actually being able to stop and to begin to reclaim the territory of the body. So the first thing we're going to do is that, so you actually have a sense of what's in there. It is not unusual for women who are busy, you know, have busy work, busy jobs, busy businesses. Women who have young children, they have invest a lot of time and effort in managing their households, and so it takes up a lot of energy and effort. We oftentimes press ourselves into service to be able to do things beyond our capacity or our desire. So this is really about beginning to check in and noticing if your body carries a lot of fatigue, if you're really good at pressing yourself beyond where you actually want to be and doing the next thing and the next thing, don't be surprised if when you relax into your body and you take a breath that you have tears. Because tears are a way that your body lets you know life is still in flow in there. So it's really important if you relax your body and you begin to feel tears coming up, just let them flow. So although there are lots of androgynous baby nested living systems rules about tears, when you can have tears and what tears mean, and it's okay to have tears in the privacy of your own bedroom, but you can't have tears in front of other people, and you know, there are judgments that are attached to the tears. Sometimes people attach a state of weakness to their tears. What are other people going to think? None of that matters here. It really is about reawakening the body and beginning to reclaim the territory of the body. So I'm going to put on some music, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to invite you to get comfortable in your chairs, take a breath, talk to you about breathing. Allow yourself to close your eyes if you're comfortable doing that, because about 80% of the information that comes into the system comes in visually. So when you close your eyes, you actually are redirecting your attention inside to the information that's moving in your own awareness. And then I'm just going to talk to you about breathing and about allowing yourself to actually gather up all of you, whatever you hold that to be, that oftentimes drifts around the body through the day, and just allow yourself to gather all of it up and to bring it inside and to just allow it to descend into the body. Now, whatever your experience is perfect. So whether it all comes or whether it only goes halfway or it goes all the way down, whatever it is perfect. It's really just an opportunity for you to stop and redirect all of your attention on the connection between the physical body and what you're experiencing as yourself or energy. And then we'll have that experience, we'll come back out into the room, I'll check in with you, and then we'll move on to the next one. Okay? Any questions? Everybody okay with this? Anybody not okay with this? Great. So you can get comfortable in your chair. Time feels right for you. Just allow yourself to kind of move around in your chair so you find exactly the right spot to be comfortable and have it be effortless. And as you breathe, just allow yourself to begin to become aware of the sound of your own breath. As it moves in and out. Focusing all of your attention on the sounds that are moving inside of you. And just very gently allow any sounds outside of you to just begin to drift out of your awareness into the background. Continuing to breathe nice and deep. Just allowing your body to open and relax. Letting it be easy and effortless. Just trusting your body to do exactly what it needs to do in order to soften and open. Letting the belly soften. Letting the chest soften. Allowing the area of the neck and the throat to begin to soften and relax. Allowing the face and the area of the mouth and the eyes. Allowing the scalp all the way down, flowing down the back of the head and into the neck. Just allowing everything to soften and relax. And as you continue to breathe nice and deep, keeping your body open and relaxed, just allow breath to continue to move deeper and deeper into the physical body. With every breath, allowing your exhalation to become longer and slower. Allowing breath to flow out of the body and create space for the next breath. And this time as you breathe, when you inhale, allow the lungs and the body to fill. And when you exhale, allow your awareness to begin to drop all the way down, filling in the empty space, going all the way down to the base of the spine. Letting the belly soften and open. Allowing the chest to soften and open. Allowing the core inside to expand and make room for your awareness to fill the body. And as you continue to breathe nice and deep, continuing to allow the body to soften and to open, allow yourself to begin to notice the presence of you and its connection to your body. Allow yourself to begin to gather toward you and around you and inside you every aspect of expression of you that has unfolded through your day. Just allow them all to be brought back. Beginning to gather all of the expressions of you in your physical world, in your emotional world, in your spiritual world, and just call all of them home. Bring them all back to you. Continuing to breathe nice and deep. Just allow them all to come home. And as you breathe, just allow all of you to begin to descend and to drop down into the body, moving all the way down to the base of the spine. And just allow yourself to sit effortlessly inside where spirit touches tissue at the base of the spine. Continuing to breathe and allowing the belly and the chest to soften. Allow yourself deep inside the body to know the truth of who you are. And just allow one word that expresses that truth to begin to drift and to bubble up and to come into your awareness. And allow that word to just very slowly roll around inside the body. And allow everything that is connected to it to begin to be in flow. Just let go, nothing to do. Just let everything be in flow. Continuing to breathe nice and deep. Allowing yourself to completely trust your body to do exactly what it knows how to do. Letting it be effortless. Continue to breathe, allow the next layer to just very, very gently begin to reveal itself to you. Just allowing it to begin to bubble up, coming into your awareness. Take a nice deep breath. And allow everything inside the body that's connected to that begin to be in flow. Continuing to breathe nice and deep, allowing the body to be open and relax. One more discovery of your presence to begin to move. And allow everything inside that's connected to that layer to begin to move. Letting it be in flow, nothing to do, just relax. Trust your body to do all the work. And just breathe. Listening to the sound of your own breath. Knowing that the life force that animates the tissue rides on the crest of the wave of your own breath, and that as you breathe, the life force moves through every cell, every organ, moves along every neural pathway in your body, awakening, connecting, and animating every single cell in your body. And when it's time, allowing your body to remember the essence of who you are, just very gently begin to become aware of the presence of my voice. Perhaps beginning to move your fingers and your toes. Maybe taking a nice deep breath, becoming aware of the sounds in the room and the other people in the room with you. And taking your time, just very slowly, beginning to bring your awareness back up into your head and behind your eyes, where you think you live. Taking another nice deep breath, bringing your awareness back into the room. And when you're ready, just very gently open your eyes. How was that? Anybody have any interesting surprises or discoveries from whatever drifted into your awareness, whatever word surfaced for you? It's interesting that when you allow the body to relax, because your body is a quantum biological device and it's always processing signals, oftentimes the conversations that you and I are unwilling to have with ourselves out loud or with someone else are the ones that we really don't know what to do with. We don't know how to match the life that we're living with those much deeper conversations that are actually found deep inside the body. So that when you're willing to relax and to go down and in, as opposed to seeking to leave your body and to go out into, you know, a quiet place or your special place or whatever, but where you're willing to actually breathe and enter the territory of the body, there's a huge amount of information there that becomes available to you. When that came into your awareness, were you aware of any body sensations attached to it? So here's what I'm talking about. When I talk about how the body is constantly revealing information about this dance, the word that came up was creativity. Creativity is a word that represents an internal state or an experience or a sensory cue. So you can't put a pound of creativity in the trunk of your car, it's a nominalization. So what happens for you is up comes this notion of creativity and your immediate response to that is no. And then somewhere in there you're talking about tingling. So if you look at it from a code model perspective, the tingling in the hands is connected to the part of the body that is actually in relationship energetically to what's referred to as a heart chakra. Do you know, are you familiar with the chakras and the energy centers?
A little bit.
It doesn't surprise me that up comes the notion of creativity, and it will come from very deep in the body, because my belief about it from these models of the world is that where spirit touches tissue is down and in, not up and out. So when you go down and in, poof, something presents. The battle of the body and the intellect, immediately the intellect kicks in, and based on culturally conditioned beliefs, values, and attitudes imposes itself. So creativity awakens in the body, the intellect says no. So we have androgynous baby nested living systems experiences that say to us, either no, you're not creative, you don't have a creative bone in your body, oftentimes reflections of things that we've done as we were growing up and that we had experiences of them. And remember I said earlier, if you really want to silence somebody, teach them they have nothing useful to say. So if you really want to shut down somebody's creativity, teach them that they aren't. So there's a culturally conditioned belief, value, or attitude that says, no, you're not. However, you were willing to stay with it. You became aware not just of creativity and then the intellect shuts it down. You became aware of the process of creativity came up, the intellect shut it down, and you stayed with the process. All of a sudden you start to get tingling in the hands. Physiological cues of tingling are tied to notions in these models of fire energy or the power center, your ability to take action on your own behalf. A tingling sensation in the hands is an awakening of fire energy, a fire energy response, yes, I can do this, that begins to actually shift beliefs, values, and attitudes. So when you're having shifts occurring in this part of the body, you are going to have sensory cues like that. So I would really encourage you when you leave here, I'd really encourage you to allow yourself to revisit this process and see what comes up the next time. So you can do these anytime you want, right? So you just go in, allow the body to relax, breathing nice and deep. But the first thing you have to do is connect. And then resting in there, just allow yourself to have the conversation about creativity inside yourself and see what happens, but not here. It's more like going inside the body and then consider that you can hold the notion of creativity and you kind of lay it at the base of the spine and then just notice what the body does. Okay? Anybody else have any interesting surprises, or did you have any body sensations attached to it? So those three words are nominalizations, right? So when I asked Francis about the rumblings are at the level of the second chakra. So the other thing that I know about Francis that I don't know that you know about Francis is that she has a pain in her leg. But she really has a pain in her leg high up in the buttocks. So really, almost in line, where you put your hand is almost in line with these dimples here. When you have pains in the back, from a code model perspective, bring your hands around to the front of the body where the experience is in the back. So what it does is it allows you to begin to bring into your awareness sensory cues in the tissue and be able to tie them back to the relationship between the energy centers in the body and the structure of thinking. So some of the stuff that I would get really curious about is that what is the relationship of those three words to second chakra and potentially first chakra responses in the body? And they're on the left-hand side. So typically in the energy world, the left side is the so-called feminine side, the right side is the male side. We think of it less in terms of gender, more in terms of states of being or processes. So the left side is more about crucible. So a crucible is like a bowl, and it allows you to hold things and to kind of think about a woman cradling an infant. It's that whole idea of holding and nurturing and supporting and sustaining. The right side of the body is the spear side. So the spear side is very much about penetration. It's about moving through things. And oftentimes it's about destroying things. So the left side of the body, what I would get curious about if I were in a conversation with her is what is the relationship between those three words and your experience of early family systems, so family of origin, parents, siblings, etc., potentially husbands, mates, partners, spouses, and children if you have them. But much more predominant is the whole early family systems thing here. And my sense of safety, personal safety, being able to feel really connected to myself and feel really grounded in my expression of those things, particularly because it's the left side of the body. The left side is typically considered the more vulnerable side. So because you're always dealing with nominalizations, those three words that you came up with, those notions, how you and I live those, if they're reflections of culturally conditioned beliefs, values, and attitudes, culturally conditioned beliefs, values, and attitudes come from early family systems. They are historical notions. So as I become an expression of those three things in my life, do I express them the way I witnessed them expressed in the past, particularly in my early family systems, or do I move to the dotted line on the quantum biological human, which equates with the choice point, and do I now redesign and redefine for me what is meaningful to me about the expression of those three words? So that I might actually become living expressions of those things that are meaningful to me, but are going to look very different from the way that I was culturally conditioned to express those things in my life. So you may be at a choice point in your life in terms of redefining those words for yourself because they're nominalizations, they're not real. So how do you redefine those things for yourself relative to history, which is about family systems and culturally conditioned beliefs, values, and attitudes, and potential unfolding self, which is about the future? Who do I choose to be in the world? How do I choose to define my truth about my experience of my world? And then based on that, how do I choose to engage those three expressions as manifestations of myself in that world? You and I don't ever think about these things. We look outside of ourselves and we look to our history and we say, well, this is what power is. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Here's what's really important. One of the conversations that Francis and I were having before we came back from the break is, there are lots and lots and lots of things in the world that use, for example, breath as a technique. So in yoga, for example, yogic practices, breathing is a technique. There are lots of other things that deal with energy work or Reiki or Huna or all kinds of things that deal with breath. Here's what I think is really important to pay attention to. I believe we have to start looking under the technique and asking ourselves, how come it works? How come breath as a technique is useful? What is going on with the device of the body that allows breath to be effective in those areas? So you're going to have experiences here where you're going to work with breath and solve problems. How come it works? So if you start considering that your body is actually a quantum biological device, and there's signals moving through your body, and unique is a word, and it's a word, right? So you can't put a pound of unique in the trunk of your car, but unique as a thought form in your body fires off sets of neural pathways and dumps information into the system in a way that is a different experience for you than you have ever experienced that, the experience of unique. You've always known it, but it's been hidden. Now you know. So notice how unique your heartbeat becomes. Your heartbeat changes as a living representation of your experience. The things that go on inside of you, the thoughts that flow through you, the energy and the information that moves is constantly reflected here. So you have an experience, you have a thought form that moves, your body becomes a living expression of that thought form. Here's where it gets really interesting. If you were to put that aside, and if I were dealing with someone else and having a conversation with them and I discover that they have a tumor on their left breast, I can now work backwards from that and get to the thought form that is allowing the tumor to stay intact. So I now have a predictable, manageable process that I can engage with somebody to be able to work with what the body is presenting, and I can work backwards from that, and I can now notice the dance of the signals. That's what code model coaching is all about. So it's like allowing yourself to really luxuriate in your uniqueness and see what happens. And notice that even when you think about it, things are moving in your body. There are sensory cues that are going off in the body. It's really important to let ourselves own that. Let ourselves really feel the magnificence of that when we know we are unique. And what's really important to pay attention to is that when you know inside yourself that you are unique, you begin to understand why you will not allow yourself to be pushed and molded and pressed into expressions of a mold as opposed to being the unique person that you are. Or if you have found yourself having to capitulate to that, why you're angry, why you're frustrated, why you're resentful, and why your body reflects that. One of the things that I said the other day, in all the years that I've worked with women, one of the things that I've discovered is that by the time women are in their late 30s, early 40s, they are some pissed about their lives. They are filled with rage. And they are spending a lot of their time and effort making nice with it. And here's the interesting thing. When you become the fire-breathing dragon, that you know is there, that stands guard at the gateway to the authentic expression of who you can be. When you claim that, you don't have to assault people with that. Because what they discover is that it begins to move through your body and it actually tempers every cell in your body, and people know you are no longer manageable. So you don't have to spew your venom all over everybody. You don't talk the same. Your voice doesn't sound the same. The vibration of your voice changes, and it's a vibration. It's not that your vocabulary shifts. But when you say no, you actually sound like you mean no. As opposed to, well, I really don't want to, but don't talk me into it because I'll probably capitulate and do whatever you want me to do because I really don't want you to be irritated with me. Right? Does that make any sense to you at all? Okay. You ready for another one?